B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Samach Gimel, and we're going to start with the Mishnah, seven lines from the top of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Lo yetze ho'ish, a man may not go out on Shabbos, Lo b'sayef, not with a sword, Lo b'keshes, not with a bow, Vlo b'tris, not with a shield, Vlo b'ola, we'll soon see in the Gemara what that means, it means a type of club, Vlo b'roimach, and not with a spear, and if he goes out with them, he's chayev chatos. It's like carrying a burden on Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, tachshitin hein loy. Rabbi Eliezer holds that these are ornaments, and therefore there's clearly not a biblical issa to go out with them on Shabbos. It's actually a machlokes hapoiskim whether he allows it lekatchila. V'chachomim oimrim nechachomim, and this seems to be the opinion of the Tanakhama, but this is something discussed in the Mefaroshim, that einon elo gnai, he argues with Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer says, it's an ornament, it's a tachshit, and they say, no, it's a gnai, it's actually a disgrace to go out with, or to wear these weapons. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, v'chitasu charvoisam le'itim, v'chanisoiseihem le'mazmeiris. This is talking about when Mashiach comes, la'osid lavoi, then they're going to v'kisesu charbeisem le'itim. The swords are going to be transformed into another type of tool, not a weapon, and so are the spears going to be turned into tools used for anything besides for weapons. And v'loyisa goy el goy cherev, and one nation will not raise a sword against another nation, and they will not need to learn the rules of war, there will not be any more wars. So you see from there that war and weapons is not something that's going to last, it's something which is only to do with our golus, therefore it's a disgrace, it cannot be an ornament. If it would be an ornament, there's no reason that they would destroy them when Mashiach comes. Continues the Mishnah, Biris, which we'll see in the Gemara, on Amud Beis, where the biris is an armband holding up the sleeves, or if it's a band holding up the stockings on one's foot. Tahira, they are tahir, and we're going to see why. And the reason that they're tahir is because they're not serving the person directly. They are serving a cloth that's serving a person. It's the sleeves are serving the person, and these bands, or the stockings are serving the person, and these bands are just holding up the sleeve or the stockings. And in Hilchas Tara and Tumah, something that does not serve a person directly, it just serves something that's serving him, it is not called a kli that is serving a person and is therefore tohir. V'yoytzin bo b'Shabbos, and one is allowed to go out with it on Shabbos, since if one would remove them, then assuming that this means the stockings, if one would remove them, then the stockings would fall down and his foot would be revealed, and therefore there's no risk of him doing that on Shabbos, and therefore he can go out with it on Shabbos. Kvolim, which are chains, we'll see in the Gemara, these are leg chains. Tameim, they are tomei, they do serve a person directly, and we'll see in the Gemara why. Ve'in yotzin ben b'Shabbos, but one is not allowed to go out with them on Shabbos, since there's the risk that he's going to remove them and show it to his friends. Those chains were gold chains, and therefore he would take them off to show his friends, and therefore one is not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, my b'ola. We saw that the Gemara discusses, the Mishnah discusses the different types of weapons, and one of them is an ola. What is an ola? Says the Gemara, kulfa, and kulfa is a type of club that they would use in war. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer Tachshiten Hein Loi. Rabbi Eliezer holds that the armory they adorn a person and they are a Tachshit. Tanya, Omru Loi Rabbi Eliezer. They said to Rabbi Eliezer, V'chi me'achar te Tachshiten Hein Loi, since you assume that these weapons, they are a Tachshit for him, they are something that are an ornament for a person, why la'osid lavoi, when there will not be any more wars, then why are these weapons going to be eliminated, as it says in the Pasuk? Omar lehen, Rabbi Eliezer answered to them, because they won't need them anymore. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk we mentioned before, lo yisa goy el goy cherev, that no nation will lift a sword against any other nation. Asks the Gemara, but to have a lenoi ba'alma, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that today they are an ornament, why will we not keep them to be an adornment even after Mashiach comes? Omar Abaya, Abaya explained, midi dahava ashraga b'tihara. They will be so useless as a lamp, as a candle is in broad sunlight. In the same way as nobody would go round with a candle in the middle of the sunlight, that's how useless these weapons are going to be, and therefore they're not going to keep them. And says the Gemara, Upliga de Shmuel. Rabbi Eliezer is arguing with Shmuel. Domar Shmuel. Shmuel said, Ein bein ha'olam hazeh l'yemos ha'mashiach elo shibud golyos bilvad, that nothing is really going to change between today and the days of Mashiach. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Ki lo yechtal evyoin, poor people will not cease to be amongst you, mikerev ha'aretz, in the land. And since the psukim that clearly say that there are not going to be any more poor people, those psukim talking about what's going to be at the end of the days, they clearly say that there's not going to be any more poor people. So it must be that the psukim that talk about what's going to be at the end of days is not talking about the days of Mashiach. It must be talking about a stage after that, La'osid Lavoi. So it's clear, according to Shmuel, all the psukim, and the hence, also the pasuk we mentioned of Lo Yisa Goyel Goy Cherev Lo Yilmudu Oid Milchama, that's not going to be the case when Mashiach comes. That's going to be much later. And since these psukim are not talking about when Mashiach comes, then when Mashiach comes, they will not be totally useless. And therefore, we see that Shmuel is arguing with Abeliezer. Mesiyah Eilei Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Dom Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Kol HaNaviim Lo Nisnabu, Elo L'Yimos HaMashiach. Reb Chiya Bar Abba holds, like we saw that Rabbi Eliezer held that way, that the psukim it says in the Navi are talking about the days of Mashiach, Avala Olam Haba, but the stages later called Olam Haba, Ayin Lo Elokim Zulasecha, on what's going to happen then, the eyes of the prophets did not set their eyes upon it, and therefore the psukim cannot be talking about them. The psukim must be talking about when Mashiach comes, and when Mashiach comes, there's not going to be any poor people, and also there's not going to be any more wars, and therefore, according to Rebbe Eliezer, after Mashiach comes, even according to Rebbe Eliezer, when Mashiach comes, they're going to get eliminated. They're not going to need these weapons anymore. And that's why it says that they are betalin yimos haMashiach. Ve'ikad amra, others say this differently. Omru leilu Rebbe Eliezer, they asked Rebbe Eliezer, v'chi me'achar detachshitin hein loi, since you, Rebbe Eliezer, hold that these weapons are an ornament for people, b'pnei mahin betalin yimos haMashiach, why, when Mashiach comes, are they going to become eliminated? Omar Lohem, he said to them, Afli Mois HaMashiach Einon Betelis. He says that when Mashiach comes, they're not going to become bottle. We're still going to use them, they're still going to be needed. Hainu de Shmuel, this is not against Shmuel, this is following Shmuel. Upligid Reb Chiya Bar Abba, and he's arguing with Reb Chiya Bar Abba, because it was Shmuel that said that Ein Bein Oilem Azeli Mois HaMashiach Elo Shibud Malchus Bilvad, and all the psukim that we're speaking about here, those are psukim that apply to Olam Haba, to later. And he argues with Reb Chiya Bar Abba, who says that the psukim cannot be talking about Olam Haba because no Novi set eyes on what would be in Olam Haba, and the psukim must be talking about Yemos HaMashiach, and that's not like Rabbi Eliezer and Shmuel according to this second version. Continues the Gemara. Omar le Abaye le Rav Dimi v'omri lo le Rav Avya. Abaya said either to Rav Dimi or to Rav Avya, V'omri lo Rav Yosef, L'Rav Dimi V'omri lo L'Rav Avya, and some say that Rav Yosef said to either Rav Dimi or Rav Avya, V'omri lo Abaya L'Rav Yosef, and some say Abaya said this to Rav Yosef, Mai Tama Rabbi Eliezer D'Oma Tachshitin Hein Loi. What's the source, what's the reason that Rabbi Eliezer says that weapons are an ornament for a person? D'chsiv, we've got a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Chagor charbacha al yoreich." You should gird your sword on your thigh. Giboyer, the strong one. Hoidcha v'adorecha, your glory and your splendor. So you see clearly that the sword mentioned in the pasuk is the glory and splendor of these strong people. So you have an explicit pasuk that says that weapons are an ornament for a person. Omelir of Kana lemarbere deravuna. This pasuk, even though the pshat of the pasuk is, as we said, we're talking about a cherev, a sword, in its literal form, and it means the glory and the splendor of the one who's holding it. But what the pasuk means is divrei Torah, is talking about metaphorically. It's referring to divrei Torah, that when one learns Torah, then the Torah will be used as a form of a sword, that when there's a discussion in halacha, and you're going to need the halacha, you're going to have to fight your way for the truth using Torah sources and Torah knowledge, then the Torah is going to be for you a glory and a splendor. And the pasuk is not talking about a sword in its literal sense. Omarle, so Rav Huna said to Rav Kahana, Mar Bereda Rav Huna said to Rav Kahana, Ein mikra yotze b'dei pshutai. You're right that metaphorically the pasuk is talking about Torah, but the pasuk is also, every pasuk must also be able to be learnt in its literal sense. And since in its literal sense the pasuk is talking about the glory and splendor of holding a sword, so it's a source to Rabbi Eliezer that a sword and weapons are an ornament. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Kahana, this Rav Kahana that just now we saw a line earlier, that who he said to Mar Bereda Rav Huna that the pasuk that we just learned, Chagir Charbacha al Yorich, is referring metaphorically to Torah and is not understood in its literal sense. He's going to tell us that Kadavino Bar Tamnis Rishnin, when I was 18 years old, Hava Gemirna Leilukule Hashishos Dorim, I had learned all of the Shishos Dorim. I knew the whole Talmud, the whole Gemara. And I did not know that one can learn every pasuk in its literal sense. I thought that since a pasuk metaphorically refers to Torah, then that's the only thing the pasuk means. Ad hashta, till now, this was the first time, says Rav Kahana, that I heard from Mar Bereda Rav Huna that ein mikra yotze midei pshutai. Says the Gemara, my kumash malon, what was Rav Kahana trying to tell us, or what's the Gemara trying to tell us by telling us that Rav Kahana, from he knew the whole Torah when he was 18, and only now he heard the Ein Mikra Yotze Midei Pshutai? What are you trying to teach us with that? Says the Gemara, the Ligmer Inish Vahad Lizber. Because it turns out, according to Rav Kahana, before he heard the Ein Mikra Yotze Midei Pshutai, then the Pasuk of Chagir Charbach Al Yorich was referring to Torah. It wasn't referring to a sword in its literal sense. And if it was not referring to a sword, then what's the source that Rabbi Eliezer says that an ornament is called a tachshit? That weapons are called an ornament, according to Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara asked what's the source, and the Gemara brought proof from this pasuk. But Rav Kahana didn't learn the pasuk this way, which means that the whole of Rav Kahana's life, he learnt this halacha that Rabbi Eliezer held, that weapons are an ornament, but he did not know the source. So that's what it means. Ligmer Inish, you should be able to learn Torah, Vahod Lizbar, and only later rely that you'll understand the halachas later. But whilst you're learning it, just accept these are the halachas, and you don't understand what the sources are, you don't know the reasons behind them, that's how you're supposed to learn. First, hear everything, learn everything, and only later try and understand the reasoning. Continues the Gemara. Simon Zarus. And there's a big discussion here in the Mefarshim what this is a simon for. It's going to be quite challenging to find Zarus or the letter Zayin Reish Vav Tov in the Gemara. It's not going to be straightforward. One of the explanations is that the Zayin is referring to Rebbe Lozor that's going to be mentioned here. The Reish is referring to Rabbi Yirmiyah that's going to be mentioned here, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish that's going to be mentioned here. The Reish is Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Resh Lakish, and the Vav Tov is Vertalmidehem, and two of their Talmidim. The two Talmidim are Rabbi Abba that's going to be mentioned here, and Rabbi Yirmiyah that's going to be mentioned here. That's one of the explanations, and there's a number of others. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah, Omer Rabbi Lozo. Rabbi Yirmiyah said in the name of Rabbi Lozo, Shnei Talmidei Chachomim, two Talmidei Chachomim, Hamechadadim Zeh Zeh B'Halocha. They are sharpening each other in discussion of Halocha, of the law. They're arguing with each other in order and with the only intent of becoming sharpened and having an accurate idea and understanding of the Halocha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzliach Lehem. Then Hashem grants them success. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, The pasuk says v'hadorcha tzlach, and the Gemara says al tikri v'hadorcha. Don't read it v'hadorcha. Hadorcha would mean your splendor. Elo v'chadodcha, your sharpening each other. V'loy oid, that means, and the pasuk means that v'hadodcha, which means v'chadodcha, your sharpening each other, tzlach is going to bring you, hatzlacha is going to bring you success. V'loy oid, says the Gemara, these talmidei chachomim who are sharpening each other in halacha, not only will they have success, elo she'oilin negdula, they're going to rise to greatness. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, which we just mentioned, tzlach rechav al dvar emes. So after it says tzlach, referring to success, it says rechav, which means to ride. And riding is normally something which is done by somebody who's risen to greatness. Is riding on an animal, on a horse, whatever it is. Yochel afilu shaloi lishma. Could it be that this is true, even if they are sharpening each other, but not with the pure intent of learning and understanding Torah, but there's ulterior motives as well? Talmud Loma says in that pasuk, al dvar emes, that all this is only going to happen only for the sake of the absolute truth, and only if they're learning, they're being mechaded, they're sharpening each other, completely lishma. Ask the Gemara, yochoil im hegis daitoi, could it be that this is going to be true even if he's arrogant and his ways and the way he's understanding and the way he's dealing with people is that of arrogance? Then is he also going to have this hatzlacha, this success and this greatness? Talmud Lema says the Gemara, v'anvo tzedek. The next words in the pasuk is v'anvo tzedek, which means with righteous humility. And somebody who's learning Torah with arrogance does not fit that bill. Vim oisim kein, and somebody who does follow this, that he's learning lishmo al dvar emes, he's humble, v'anvo tzedek, he's zoichin l'teira shenitno b'yamin, he's going to be deserving of teira that was given with the right hand. Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk, the last three words of the pasuk we're dealing with, it says v'soircho noirois yaminecho, which means that the Torah given in your right hand is going to teach you, the Torah is going to teach you neirois, awesome things. So you see that the reward for learning Torah and sharpening each other with the right attitude is that the Torah given to the right is going to teach you neirois. The Gemara is going to explain. Rav Nachman ben Yitzchok Omar. Rav Nachman ben Yitzchok says he learns the pasuk a little bit differently. Not that you're going to be zoicha to Torah that was given with the right hand, which is what it says here, v'toircha noirois yemincha, but he learns this a bit differently, that the yemincha mentioned here is that these people, zoichin nidvorim shenemru b'yemino shel Torah, they're going to be deserving of those things that have been ascribed to the right hand side of Torah. The right hand of Torah. Where do we find that Torah has a right hand and a left hand that we can say that these people referred to in this pasuk are going to be deserving of what's ascribed to the right hand? Either Rav Bar Rav Shila said it or Rav Yosef Bar Choma said it in the name of Rav Sheshes. Ma'edichsiv, it says in a pasuk, it's a pasuk in Mishli, Oirech Yomim Biyamino. The length of days are attributed to their right hand. Bismayla oisher v'chovid, and the left hand is going to give a person oisher v'chovid, wealth and honor. And this is referring to Torah. That Torah, when one learns Torah and one deals with Torah right-handedly, we'll soon see what that means. Then one will be deserving of long years, of length of years. And if one is dealing with Torah and learning Torah as left-handedly, then one will be deserving of wealth and honor. And the Gemara is going to explain, Elo, b'yamino oirech yomim ika oishe v'chovo idleka. Can it be that if somebody is learning Torah with all his strength and with all, that the right hand is the hand which is articulate to do things right, to do it with full strength, to do it to perfection, that can it be that when I'm learning Torah with the right hand, then I'm only going to be deserving long life and I'm not going to be deserving wealth and honor. But if I learn Torah left-handedly, which is a little bit lazily, a little bit imperfectly, like generally a left hand is less perfect than the right hand, then he's going to be deserving of wealth and honor. Can that be? Elo says the Gemara, no. Lemayminim bo, those who deal with Torah right-handedly, oirech yomim ikka, not only are they going to be deserving of long days, v'kolshkein oishar v'chovoid, and even more so, they're going to be deserving of wealth and honor. Lemasmi'ilim bo, but those who are learning Torah left-handedly, oishar v'chovoid ikka, they're only going to be deserving of wealth and honor. Oirech yomim leka, they do not have the zgula of deserving long length. So coming back to the context of our Gemara, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok said that zoichin ledvorim shenemru biyamino shel Torah, that the pasuk that says v'hadorcho, which the Gemara explained means v'chadotcho, those who are sharpening each other, tzlach, they will have success, they will have greatness, that's the rechav al dvar emes, providing they learning lishmo v'anova, and with humility, tzedek, and with righteous humility, that means that you're going to be deserving to those things ascribed to the right hand of Torah, when learning Torah with one's right hand, right-handedly. What's ascribed to Torah right-handedly? It's oirech yomim and oisher v'chovid. It's long life and wealth and honor. Continues the Gemara, Omer Reb Yirmiya, Omer Reb Shimon ben Lokish. Shnei Talmidei Chachomim hanoichim ze leze bahalocha. Two Talmidei Chachomim who are pleasant with each other when they are debating the law. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makshiv lehen, Hashem listens to them. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Oz nidberu Yirei Hashem. The Yirei Hashem, the people who have a fear of Hashem, they will speak with each other. And the way they're communicating is called nidberu, and we'll soon see the word nidberu means a pleasant form of communication. The goimer, etc. What does it say in the pasuk? Ish el re'eu vayakshiv Hashem vayishma. And the Gemara explains, ein dibur, this nidberu, the word dibur, it means elon nachas, it means pleasantness. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, yadbeir amim tachteinu, Hashem is going to humble people beneath you. So you see the word yadbir means humble. So in that context, it means it will take foreign nations and humble them beneath Klal Yisrael. But you see that the word yadbir means humility. So in the context of Oz Nidberu, it means that they are interacting with each other in a humble and pleasant manner. And what does it say in that pasuk? Vayakshiv Hashem, Hashem will listen, vayishma, he'll hear them, vayikosev sefer zikorin lefonov, and will be written in the sefer zikorin in front of him, leyirei Hashem, ulechoy shvei shemoy, and this rings true also for the choy shvei shemoy. Who are these choy shvei shemoy? Asks the Gemara, my ulechoy shvei shemoy, those who ponder his name. What does that mean? Omer Ami explains to Ami, afilu chishiv lasis mitzvah. Even if you just pondered, you just intended to do a mitzvah, v'nenas, and he was unavoidably prevented, and therefore he could not do the mitzvah, and it was not something he could avoid. The pasuk regards it as if he actually did the mitzvah, and that's olachoy shvei shemoy, and these are tzaddikim who want to do all the mitzvahs. Continues the Gemara, Omer b'chinuna bar idi, kol ha'oisa mitzvah k'ma'amora, anyone who does a mitzvah exactly the way it's written, exactly the way he should. Ein mevasrin oisai, one does not inform him besuris rois, any evil tidings. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, shomer mitzvah, those who keep the mitzvahs, lo yeda dovora, will not know anything evil. Omer basi v'itaymer v'chanina, afilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu goizer gzeira, even if Hashem decreed a serious punishment against such a person, against the shomeri mitzvah, who mevatlo, this person can cancel that punishment. Shenemar, as it says, and this is a pasuk earlier in Keheles, ba'asher dvar melech shiltoin, the word of the king is authority, it cannot be budged. Umi yoimer loy ma tase, the pasuk carries on, and who can say to the king, why did you do this? V'samichle, and the pasuk after that, which is the pasuk which we just mentioned a moment earlier, Shomer mitzvah lo yeda davar ra, that those who keep the mitzvahs the way they should will not know anything bad, which means that even though a regular person may not be able to say to Hashem, may not be able to say to the king, why did you do this? Why did you decree punishment? Somebody with Shomer mitzvah, he can even annul, he can even cancel and be mevatel a gzera, so to speak. He can say to Hashem, why have you done this? And ask Hashem to cancel the decree. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Abba, Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish. Shnei Talmidei Chachomim hamakshivim ze leze. Two Talmidei Chachomim who are teaching each other and understanding each other. Bahalocha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shemea Lekoilon. Hashem listens to their voices. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk. Pasuk in Shir Ashirim. Hayusheves Baganim. For those who are sitting in the Ganim, in the gardens. And this is referring to the Beis HaMedrash. Chaverim Makshivim Lekoilich. These are the chaverim, these are the Talmidei Chachomim who are friendly to each other, they are companions, and they are listening to each other's voices. Hashmi ini, says Hashem. I want your voice to be heard to me. I want to hear your voices and I want to listen to them. Let me hear your voice. Hashmi ini. Vim einoisin kein. But if these Talmidei Chachomim are not listening to each other, it causes the Shechina to depart from Klal Yisrael. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, and this is the next Pasuk, Berach Doidi, that my beloved will flee, referring to the Shechina, is going to have to go away. And he's going to flee away, he's going to be compared to a deer, etc. Omar Rabbi Abba, Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish. Says Rabbi Abba in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish, Shnei Talmidei Chachomim hamadgilim ze leze behalocha. Two Talmidei Chachomim who for whatever reason could not learn Torah with their Rebbe. So they go to each other, they gather each other together and they say to each other, let us Talmidim try to learn on our own, even without our Rebbe. What does Hashem say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu oyhavon, Hashem loves them. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, V'digloi olai ava, which means that the banner over me is one of love. Typically, a banner is a place where people gather around. The banner is always saying something that connects the people that are associated to it. So v'digloi olai, when you gather together under one banner, ava, then Hashem loves them. Omar Rava, Rava says, V'hu d'yod tzuras u'd'shmeitza. Since we're talking here about Talmidim who are learning without their Rebbe, it's only advantageous that they're learning together if they've had some background from their Rebbe. They know how to approach the topic being learned. If they have no background, they're going to learn it wrong. There's no advantage in that. And the Gemara says, V'hu d'lesli Rabba b'mosa, and this is all providing that there's no teacher in the city that can teach them. L'migmar minei, from who they can learn from. And then, if nonetheless they get together, they gather together and try and learn on their own, Hashem loves them very much. Continues the Gemara, Omer Reb Abba, Omer Reb Shimon ben Lokish. Godoil hamalav hamalve, it is greater to lend a poor person money. Yoisa min oisa tzedakah, rather than giving him charity. When you give him charity, he could be embarrassed. If you lend him money, he's not going to be embarrassed. He'll borrow the money in the hope that he can pay it back at some later stage. Umatil bekis, but if you give him enough money and merchandise that he can invest and possibly split the profits between himself and you who are giving him this opportunity and that's how he's paying back, then yosemikulon, that's greater than all of them, because not only are you lending him money, that the chances are the money is going to go for other expenses, you're giving him an opportunity to set himself up in business so that long term he should have what to live off. And that's the most advantageous way of taking care of a poor person. Continues the Gemara, Omer Reb Abba, Omer Reb Shimon ben Lokish. Im Talmud Chochem, even if a Talmud Chochem, he's not perfect in his midas. He's noikum, he exacts revenge, v'noiter, and he bears a grudge, kenochosh, like a snake, like a serpent. Kenochosh, even if a Talmud Chochem is this way, chogreyu al mosnecho, it's worth girding him to your loins, it's worth being close to him, because at some point you're going to appreciate and benefit from his Torah. Im am ha'oretz hu chosid, but if somebody's not a learned person, and even though it looks like he's being a chosid, it looks like he's being righteous, but he's an Am Ha'aretz, then his righteousness is not coming from the right place or going to the right place, because he hasn't learned. He doesn't know how to be righteous. And the end, what's going to happen is you're going to learn from his ways which are inaccurate, and therefore al todur b'shchunosoy, you should not dwell in his neighborhood. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Kahana, Omer of Shimon ben Lakish, V'omri lo Omer of Asi, Omer of Lakish, V'omri lo Omer of Abba, Omer of Shimon ben Lakish. There's a discussion who said this in the name of Resh Lakish. That what? Kol ha-megadil kelevra, anyone that raises a bad dog, which is a dog that barks, b'soich b'isoy, in his home, m'inea chesed, he prevents kindness, m'toich b'isoy, from his home. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, the Pasuk says in Iyoiv, Lamos Mireehu Chosed. Shekein Beloshn Yevonis, in the Greek language, Koirin Lekelev, a dog is called Lamos. So the Pasuk says, Lamos, if you have such a dog, Mireehu, you are preventing from your friend Chesed. Why? Because a poor person will not want to knock on your door. If there's a big sign saying, you know, there's a dog here and keep your distance, and even if there's no sign, but if there's a barking dog, then a poor person will not want to enter your house, and you will lose those opportunities of helping a poor person and giving tzedakah. Rav Nachman by Yitzchok Omar. Rav Nachman by Yitzchok adds and says, Af Pirek Mimenu Yiras Shemaim. He casts from himself Yiras Shemaim, the fear of Hashem. Shenemar, because it says in that very same Pasuk, after it says, Lamos Mere'ehu Chosed, it says, V'Yiras Shaddai Yazoiv, that you are abandoning the fear of Hashem. And the Gemara now tells us a story, what's wrong, besides for if you have a bad dog, a barking dog, it's going to scare away the poor people, there's another danger as well. Hahu itza, there was this woman, she was pregnant, da'ayla lahu beisa, she went up to this house, lemeifa, in order to bake there. It was obviously either a place where it was a bakery, or was a private person who had an oven there that allowed people to come and bake in his oven. Novach bo kalba, and there was a dog there that barked as she was coming. Isakir vlodo, her fetus got uprooted from its place in the womb, and it died. Omar lo, Mora de Besa, the owner of the house, said to this woman, Lo titchli, you don't need to be scared of the dog. De shokle nive, his teeth, his fangs, the four teeth that a dog would bite with, have been taken away from him, have been taken out. Ushkilon Tufra, and his claws have been removed. You have nothing to worry about. Omrole, she said to him, I have gratitude for your kindness and your care to explain to me why I don't need to be afraid. Shikula Tivusoch, but this, you can take this gratitude. Vashadya Achizra, and you can throw it to the thorns. Kvarnod Vlad, the child, the fetus, has already dislodged from its place, and it's too late. It died. Continues the Gemara. Omar of Huna, Maidich Siv, it says in a Pasuk in Keheles. And this Pasuk seems to be contradicting itself. First it says, Smach Bochur B'yaldusecha, rejoice, young man, in your childhood. V'yetivcha Libcha B'mei Bachrosecha, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. V'haleich b'darchei libcha, and go in the ways of your heart, just follow your heart, u'b'mari inecha, and the sight of your eyes. Just follow your heart, follow your eyes. In other words, have a good time, enjoy life. Okay, but now the Pasuk seems to be changing its tone and saying, v'da, but no, ki al kol eilei v'yacho ho'elikim b'mishpot, that for all these things Hashem is going to bring you to judgment. And this seems to be contradicting itself. First it says in the Pasuk, Smach bochor, have fun, enjoy life. And then it says, yeah, but you're going to be held responsible. What's going on? So the Gemara is going to have two explanations. The Gemara says, and this is Rav Huna who explained, that Adkan Divrei Yetzahara, the first half of the Pasuk is the Yetzahara telling a person, have fun, follow your eyes, follow your heart. Mikan ve'eluch, but from the words v'da, ki al kol eile yivyecho elikim b'mishpot, divri yetzer toiv, that's the good inclination is telling you, if you listen to the bad inclination, to the evil inclination, you're going to be held responsible, it's not worth your while. Rish Lakish Omar, Rish Lakish explained differently. He said, ad kan le divrei toira, that the first half of the Pasuk is telling us our correct approach to Torah. You should learn Torah with happiness, and you should follow your heart and make sure that everything you learn and you see in Torah is settled in your heart and you understand it well. And ad kan ledivrei Torah, mikan ve'elech, the second half of the Pasuk is lemaisim tovim, is talking about the good deeds, which means that the first half of the Pasuk is telling you how to learn. But then the Pasuk is saying, but make sure that whatever you learn, you actually keep it. Because we're going to be checking up, is what you're doing congruent? Does it meet up with what you know? If you've learned about certain mitzvahs, but you're not keeping those mitzvahs, then you're going to be held responsible for that. Continues the Gemara, and now the Gemara is going back to a halacha that we saw in the Mishnah. We saw in the Mishnah, biris tahira, v'yotzim baba Shabbos. This biris is tahir in Hilchas Tumah and Tara. It's not called a kli, it's not called a beged or a tachshit that could be mekabel tumah. But yotzim baba Shabbos, you are allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Kvolim, however, these chains tameim, they are mekabel tumah. Ve'en yotzim ben b'Shabbos, and one is not allowed to go out with them on Shabbos. And this is something we have to understand. Says the Gemara, Omer of Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, biris zu etz odo. What is a biris, which is tohir? It's etz odo. It's this armband. Mosiv Rav Yosef asked to Rav Yehuda, how can you say that the biris is this armband? Biris tohir of yotzim ben b'Shabbos. In the Mishnah we saw that this biris is tohir. It cannot become tomei. One's allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. V'ilu etz odo, but an armband is mentioned explicitly in the psukim regarding tumah and tara, that it says tomei. In Parashas Matos, when they conquered Midian, then the pasuk says in pasuk yotes that all the things that are need to be tischatu b'yom hashlishi or b'yom hashvi'i atem ushvichem, all those things that need to be purified because we assume that they are tomei meis, or they have the halachas of a tomei meis. And later on in the parasha, it says right at the end of the parasha, and posuk, nun, that included in all the spoil they took from Midian, is etz odo v'tomid, tabas, ogil v'chumoz. So you see clearly that the etz odo, it can become tomei. So how can you say that the biris is etz odo, when our Mishnah says that a biris is, cannot become tomei? Says the Gemara, hochik oma, biris tachas etz odo, Oimedes. That what Rav Yehuda meant was that below where a person will typically wear an etz odo, which is an armband, then on his feet he would wear a biris, a band to hold up his stockings. But the biris is not the etz odo. The etz odo is what holds up his sleeves, and the biris is what holds up the stockings. Continues the Gemara, Yosef Rovin v'Rav Huna Kameda of Yirmiyah. Rovin and Rav Huna were sitting in front of Rav Yirmiyah. V'yosiv Rav Yirmiyah v'kom enamnim. Rav Yirmiyah was dozing off. So now Rovin and Rav Huna had a discussion. And we'll see at the end of the discussion when Rav Yirmiyah is going to sort of awaken himself, is going to rejoin the discussion, and he's going to have what to add. V'yosiv Rovin u'ka'omar. Rovin said as follows. Biris ba'achas kvolim b'shtaim. That a biris is put on one leg. That means, because our Mishnah said explicitly there's a difference between biris and kvolim. Biris tahoira of yotzim baba Shabbos, kvolim tmeim vein yotzim baba Shabbos. So the Gemara says now, Rovin said that what is biris? Biris is when you wear it on one foot. Kvolim is when you wear it on 2 feet. Amalei Rav Huna said to him, no, elu ve'elu b'shtaim. The truth is that biris is talking about, the Mishnah is talking about, biris is talking about when he's wearing two. And kvolim is talking about two. What's the difference? Umatilin shalsheles b'neim v'nasu kvolim. That when you're wearing two, when a person will typically wear two bands, one on each foot, one on each leg to hold up his stockings, they would also add chains between these two biris. We'll soon see why. And when these two birises are chained together, then they are called kvolim. And then they have different halachas. That when the biris are on their own, on his two legs, they are tohir. But when they have the chain, then the two biris, then they are called kvolim, and they are tomei. Asks the Gemara, V'shalsheles sheboi mashvili mono. Just because you added on the chain, it now becomes a kli. The Mishnah says kvalim tameim. What do the chains do to make it tomei, or to make it able to become tomei? In this stage of the Gemara assumes that all these chains are doing are serving the bands that are holding up the stockings. And the stockings themselves, the bands holding up the stockings without the chains, they're not a tachshit, they're not a beged, and therefore they're toyer. Just because you added a chain to them, maybe that they shouldn't get lost, they shouldn't come off, whatever it is, why should this biris now with the chains called kvolim, why should that become tomei? So the Gemara is going to say, no, the kvolim are there not just in order to hold the biris together. There's an added, they're doing something more than that. The Gemara is going to suggest, v'chitem, are you going to say, k'rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, k'rabi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, do'omar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, we saw in Dafnun Ches Amud Beis, from Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omer Rabbi Yechon, in the name of Rabbi Yechonon, Minayin lemashmiya koil bikli matchois, any metal vessel that produces a sound, shehu tomei, that it's called a kli and can become tomei. Shenemer, as it says, kol dovar asher yovoi ba'esh, that anything that became treif, that in the parasha there, anything that was used with fire, the way you do hag'ola, the way you kasher it, is by putting it into fire. Kol dovor ash yovi beish, you have to put into fire. The word kol dovor, the word dovor seems to be extra. We don't need it. It could say kol ash yovi beish. What's the word dovor doing there? So it must be talking about, says the Gemara, filu dibur b'mashma, even if all it's doing is making a sound. Now, regarding the asher yovei ba'esh, there's no difference what it's doing. There it's talking about if something became treif. If it became treif on the fire, you have to do hag'ol, you have to kasher it on the fire. If it became treif just on the boil, it's enough to kasher it by submerging it in water on the boil. So Rashi explains early on that the extra word dovor, referring to dibur, which means making a sound, is not to be understood or used in the context of these words of kol asher yovei ba'esh. Rather, it should be used to what the pasuk says later with tumah and tara, that there are things that can become tomei, and if they're tomei, one needs to tovel them. They need to become toher. And in that context, the word dovor is telling us that even something that just sounds, makes a sound, is called a kli and can become tomei. Says the Gemara, it's all very good in Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis. Over there we're talking about a type of vessel, a type of utensil that was making a sound, and there was actually a purpose in the sound. It was serving us. And that type of object that makes a sound indeed can become tomei. Over here, these chains that are hanging between the two bands around the stockings, we don't need the sound, and the sound is not serving us in any way, so why should they become tomei? Let's see that in the Gemara. Bishlei mahosom, over there on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, kaboyele lekola, you need the sound in order to see where the animal is, or whatever the purpose was for the sound there. Ukovid Maisa is serving the person. Hocha Mai Maisa Kovid, over here, how is the sound of these chains serving a person? Says the Gemara, no. Hocha Nami Kovid Maisa, these chains are actually serving the person very much. They are not there just in order to make sure that the bands shouldn't fall down. They're actually serving the person in a tremendous way. There was one family in Yerushalayim. They would walk with very large strides. And the girls, because they were walking with such large strides, their basulim would fall out. And that would be a challenge later on when they would get married if they didn't have basulim. So what did they do? Osu lahem kvolim. They would make these chains. Ve'itilu shalsheles b'neim. They would put the chains between these two bands. Shelo yupsiyoseim gasois. Since the chains were relatively short, therefore it prevented them from taking strides that were too large. V'loy hoyu basuloseim noishreis. And therefore, and that helped them that the basulim would not fall out. So you see that these chains were actually serving the person directly. Therefore, the kvalim can become tomei. Itar bu Rav Yirmiya. At this point, Rav Yirmiya rejoined the discussion. Omar Lui said to them, Yashir, what you said was correct. V'chein Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Indeed, that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said, that the reason these chains are tomei is regarding that family that used these chains to protect them, to make sure that their girls would stay safe and the psulim would stay whole. Continues the Gemara. Ki asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Minayin, what's the source? Laorig, anything that's woven, kolshu, even if it's a very small piece of woven material, shehu tomei, it can become tomei. We've learned previously, and we're still going to learn ahead, that a typical piece of material will only become tomei if it's 3 tfachim by 3 tfachim, or if it's 3 etzboys, 3 fingers widths by 3 fingers widths. But over here, a piece of material, even if it's just a mashul, it can be used. Where do we learn? What's the source of such a concept that it's called, it has the halachas of a beged and can become tomei, even though it's very small, it's less than the minimum required amount to be considered material that can become tomei? Says the Gemara, mitzitz, from the head plate that the Kohen Gadol would wear, that would go from one ear to the next, and the tzitz was called a tachshit, it was one of the ornaments of the Kohen Gadol, even though it was less than the required amount of area that a typical piece of material would be needed in order to be called a tachshit, an ornament that can become tomei. Amale Abaya, Abaya asked Rav Dimi, how can you say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that you learn now the halachas of anything woven from the tzitz, the tzitz oriku? The tzitz was woven, was made of material? Well, Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, tzitz kamin tas shel zov. The tzitz was a plate of gold. V'roichav shtei etzboys, it was 2 etzboys wide, 2 fingers widths wide. U'mukav me'oizen lo'izen, and it would encircle the Kohen Gadol's forehead from one ear to the next. V'kosav olav b'beis shittin, and on it was inscribed on 2 lines, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the whole of Hashem's name, l'mala. It said Yud Kei Vav Kei on the top line, V'kodesh Lamed l'mata, and the words V'kodesh, Kodesh Lamed, and really together it would be Kodesh Lashem, but we didn't want to put anything above Hashem's name, so it said on 1 line Hashem's name, and on the next line it says Kodesh La, that it's sanctified to, on the second line. But what do we see from here? We see that the tzitz was a plate of gold. It wasn't woven, so how can you bring proof that something woven can become tomei, even if it's less than the minimum required measure? How can you learn that from the tzitz? V'omer B'liezer B'rbiyasi said, Anira Isiv B'ir Roimi, when I was in Rome, I saw the tzitz. The Romans had taken it away, and he was in the coffers or in the safes of the Romans, possibly what we would know today as the Vatican, and he said, I saw the tzitz. V'kosov, and it said, Kodesh Lashem B'shito Achas. He said, I saw that on 1 single line, it said, Kodesh Lashem, La Yud Kei Vav Kei, on 1 line, not on 2 lines. Okay, so there's a discussion here in the Mefarashim, on what extent are they arguing, if at all, whether there's different options of writing and doing the tzitz. But either way, we see here that the tzitz was a plate of gold, not woven. Kisolik Rav Dimi Linardo, when Rav Dimi, who he was the one that said this in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, when he got to Nahar Dor, Sholach Lui sent a message back to the people in Bovel, the Dvorim Shamarti Lechem Tosein Beyodi, this that I told you in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that we learn out the halachas of something woven from the tzitz, was a mistake. Barom, and in truth, Kach Omru Meshum Rabbi Yochanan, I'll tell you what they said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Minayin Letachshit Kolshu, how do we know that an ornament, even if it's very, very small, any amount, any size, shehu tomei, that it can be tomei, it doesn't need to have a minimum size, mitzitz. The tzitz was an ornament, it was only 2 fingers widths wide, and nonetheless, it was called a tachshit, and it could become tomei. Uminayin le'orig kol shehu shehu tomei, and where do we learn, what's the source, that something woven, even if it's very small, can become tomei? We don't learn that from the tzitz. You learn it out from the extra word oy beged. And the pasuk says, mikol kliyet oy beged oy sock, etc. Kol kliyash yasa melocha bem, etc. From the oy beged, the extra words, we can learn that it's even a beged that is very, very small, and it's referring to a woven beged, a woven piece of material that it can become tomei even if it's smaller than the generally accepted minimum amount of size for a beged to become tomei. In Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next shiur, we're going to learn this sugya more at length, starting from here.